Hey, thanks for checking out this message from LifeGate Church. We hope that God uses this message to encourage you and to help you live in the freedom and purpose that Jesus has for your life. Now, we're doing a theme across the entire year called Multiply, but we've been breaking it up into different series. And so last week, we kicked off our new series called Kingdom Expansion. And so we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about what it means for the kingdom to expand. But I wanted to start with a question. I wonder whether you've ever asked yourself the question, what is God's will for my life? Or what does it mean to live as a part of God's kingdom? Maybe you've asked one question that's like that, right? Now, if you're anything like me, navigating the complexities of life, trying to align my choices with God's plan has often felt like a challenging puzzle to solve. Anyone else feel like that? You're trying to work out, God, how do you want me to live? What decision should I make? Now, I used to think that God's will was a tightrope to walk, where you have to kind of walk this tightrope and balance and try not to fall off. Anyone else relate to that and feel like that? And I don't know about you, but I used to get a lot of anxiety around that, going, oh, I don't want to make the wrong choice and completely fall off, and then I'm lost, right? Now, I know I'm not alone in these struggles, and perhaps you've faced similar challenges, similar questions that I have. It's common to wonder about God's plan, especially when we see more and more chaos and brokenness in our world. So the good news is that we're not alone in this struggle. And it's something that a lot of people have wrestled with. How do I live as a part of God's kingdom each and every day? And so as we're talking about kingdom expansion, I think it's really important that we first, take some time to understand, what does it mean to live as a part of God's kingdom? What is God's kingdom? Because if we don't have the right definition of what God's kingdom is, then when we talk about expanding it, we're going to have a very different idea of what it means to expand and what it is that we are expanding, right? So today we're going to explore how we can firstly, find greater freedom and purpose in understanding and living out God's will, but also about seeing God's kingdom come on earth. So this is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at, firstly, a part of the Bible called the Sermon of the Mount. So we're going to look at what is the Sermon on the Mount, first of all. Secondly, what is God's kingdom? And thirdly, how do we live it out? So that's kind of the questions that we're going to be answering today and what we're going to look at. So we're going to start by reading the Sermon on the Mount, which is a collection of teachings by Jesus that provides insight and understanding on what it means for God's kingdom to come and His will be done on earth. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is not just a random assortment of Jesus' teaching. It's not like a favorites box where there's a Dairy Milk and a Snickers and a Crunchy in there and it's all kind of packaged up. It's actually a really deliberate, organized, beautiful collection of teachings that relates to one another. And so this is, excuse the ugly design, but I thought it was simple to make it look at. So really, the Sermon of the Mount has three parts. We have the first part, which is this green part, the life as a believer. We have the entering the kingdom, and we have the middle part as well. Now, within that middle part, it's broken into three sections that you can see by those three colours. And each of those sections is also broken up to three parts itself. And so each of those have been deliberately put together for a reason, and they all interrelate to each other as well. And so right at the center is the famous prayer that Jesus taught his followers that you may have seen, you may have heard before. It comes from Matthew 6. This is what it says. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So you may have heard that before. And what I want to look at in particular, right, is this first part. It talks about, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, which means, you know, great is your name. It's a way of honoring God's name. Your kingdom come. Now, if Jesus is teaching people to pray for the kingdom to come, they need an understanding of what the kingdom is that they're asking for God to bring more of, right? And so what does it mean for God's kingdom to come? Well, Jesus, being Jewish, was deeply rooted in the sacred scriptures of Israel, the Hebrew Bible or the Torah. These scriptures tell the story of God and humanity, how God created a well-ordered world and gave humans authority to rule on God's behalf. When humans rule with God's wisdom and with God's love, and when justice and peace are lived out on this earth, and when there's enough for everyone, that is God's kingdom and will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we all know, that's no easy task, right? Where there's enough to go around, where people are ruling with God's wisdom and judgment, when there's justice and peace for all, that's a hard task, right? That's a hard task in this world. So I want to start with a question, and this is not a rhetorical question, this is an interactive question. Where are there examples in the Bible of people not living out God's will? Judges? Yeah? Just the whole set? Yeah? Fair enough. Anyone else? Any other examples? Sorry, what was that, Kev? Adam and Eve? Yep. Any others? Saul? Yep. How did he not live it out? Yep. Yep. That's a pretty good summary, right?
Jonah.
Jonah, yeah. God told him to do something and he did the other thing. So, as we all know, right? Humanity disrupted this harmony through rebelling against God, leading to the construction of personal kingdoms ruled by human wisdom. And if you look at lots of the kingdoms that rise and fall throughout the scriptures, that's what you see, right? You see these personal human kingdoms ruled by human leaders, ruled with human wisdom and human authority. So in response, God chose one family, the Israelites, and offered them his wisdom through the Torah, and the goal was for them to be transformed by God's wisdom so they could represent God's kingdom before all the nations. And as I said, their understanding of God's wisdom and authority came from the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this is how they knew what God wanted them to do and what he didn't want them to do. Now, despite God's intentions, Jesus' time found Israel under Roman oppression, leading to various responses amongst the religious leaders at the time. Some believed that God's kingdom wasn't coming because Israel wasn't being faithful enough to the Torah. Maybe you've interacted with people like that in your life, where you're praying for God to move in one way and, you know, there's some kind of response like, oh, well, you guys aren't being faithful enough. You're not living that out well enough, and that's why God's not responding. Maybe there was also other things, right? Others sought to negotiate and get along with Rome. There were others who resisted and those who withdrew to the desert waiting for God to initiate a new Israel. But if you were to walk around the hills of Israel, like Jesus did, you'll find mostly normal people figuring out their lives as best as they can. And I think that's a beautiful description of our church and a lot of other people out there, right? People trying to live it out as best as they can each and every day. Now, back in Jesus' time, most were barely hanging on. There were lots of poor and sick people. Many had lost their land to the Roman occupiers and were struggling to pay the heavy taxes. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I see my tax bill, I'm like, come on, give me a break. But these guys were taxed even more dramatically, right? Everything they had was being taken by the Romans, and they were struggling to pay these taxes. They were powerless and hopeless. And maybe that's how you feel sometimes. Maybe you feel powerless and hopeless in certain situations in your life. But then what happens is Jesus went to these people, healing the sick and announcing that God's kingdom was arriving. And so people gathered from all over to hear his teachings. And so one day Jesus went up a tall hill and said the arrival of God's kingdom was starting here and now with them. And so that's what we're going to look at in that first part in green, right? That's the context that we're going to read. So we're going to read from Matthew 5, which is also known as the Beatitudes. This is what it says. It says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those of you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" Now, in that very first line, what Jesus says, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now, as we all know, being poor isn't just about finances. There's many other ways that you can be poor and poor in spirit. But in other words, what Jesus is saying here is, where can you go and see God's presence and blessings brought to life? Is it amongst the rich? Is it amongst the powerful? No, Jesus says, look where people are poor, where they feel crushed and defeated. God's kingdom is beginning with the people standing right there. And so this is where we see God's kingdom, in those who feel poor, in those who are mourning, right? When people are mourning a loss, you see the people coming together to comfort, to encourage, to support. Those who lead and serve others with humility. Those who live with integrity. Those who show mercy. Who have the right heart. Who are trying to bring peace into every chaotic situation that they enter into. Those that are trying to bring reconciliation to relationships. Those that are living a life that honors Him. In other words, where do we see God's kingdom at work? In those situations. And so Jesus chose to announce the arrival of a kingdom, not in the place of power, not with those who held authority, but really with those who needed it the most. And that's where we see God's kingdom at work, where there's need, where there's suffering, where there's hurt, where there's mourning. That's where we see the reality of God's presence and His kingdom brought to life. So when we're talking about the kingdom expanding, right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about where people are being led by God's wisdom and God's authority, where they're bringing peace and justice into situations, where they're serving others with humility. And I don't know about you, but that's certainly something that I want to see more of in this world. And that's what God is inviting us to do and how he's inviting us to live. So how do we live in a way that aligns with God's will? Well, it involves having the same heart of God's kingdom in our daily lives. It means when we feel crushed, asking God for strength. It means when we feel weak, asking for his power to work through us. It means fighting for justice. It means praying for others. It means loving others. When faced with decisions, asking ourselves, how can I live out God's kingdom in this situation? How can I allow God's wisdom and authority to influence and shape the way that I respond to this person or this decision? And so how do we live this out? The first part is around knowing his kingdom. If we want the kingdom to expand, we really have to have a true biblical understanding of what the kingdom is. We need to know when we're praying this prayer, God, your kingdom come, what does that actually mean? What are we asking for God to do? So we need to know his kingdom. And that's why over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a number of plans on YouVersion that help us better understand what the kingdom is. The second one is around living out his kingdom in daily decisions. In other words, making choices that reflect God's heart for that situation. It's also about praying for his kingdom, praying for God's kingdom to come in other people's lives, that they would experience the truth and the freedom and the reality of God's kingdom in their life. And lastly, to share the kingdom with others. You see, kingdom expansion starts with us. We need to be doing these things. We need to be understanding what God's kingdom is in order so that we can see it grow. And as Nathan shared, right, on Vision Sunday, the church has had 84% growth year on year. So God and his Spirit are working, right? All we have to do is go, God, how can I align my choices to the way that you're inviting me to live? And when we understand God's kingdom, it actually, for me, it goes from being a tightrope to balance to going, okay, well, it's pretty clear, right? Anything within this is God's plan for my life. Whether I talk to that person or talk to that person, whether I take this job or that job, whatever it is it helping bring peace and justice and love in the way that I lead people? Can I love people at this job? Yes. Can I love people at that job? Yes. Can I make a wise decision in either outcome? Yes. Can I bring justice to situations? Yes. That's how God is inviting us to live out his kingdom. And so what I want to do is I'm going to invite the band up, but I want us to just take a moment with this part to think about how we live this out. I want you to think for yourself. Let's just take a moment to pray. Let's open ourselves up to where God is moving in our lives today. So God, we thank you for your kingdom. We thank you that you don't need us, God, but you invite us to be a part of what you're doing here on earth. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit and how your kingdom has been expanding over thousands and thousands of years. Thank you that we get to play a part in that. So God, would you help us to know your kingdom? Would you help us to live it out each and every day? Would you show us how to pray for more of your kingdom to come? And would we have the boldness and the confidence to share that with others so that they would experience that as well? So church, I just invite you, where you're at, just to sit with God. Sit around these areas. Ask him to reveal to you, to show you what it is that He's inviting you to do differently. Ask Him to show you situations where you can demonstrate the kingdom to others, where you can make wiser decisions that are aligned with His wisdom and His authority. Let's just open up and create a space for God to meet with us right now. Thanks so much for checking out this message. LifeGate Church has people meeting in person and online in many different locations, and we'd love to help you get connected. My name's Andrew and I lead our online team here at LifeGate Church, and it's our job to do exactly that. We'd love to help you find community, get support and prayer, and take your next step. So why don't you connect with us and take your next step at lifegate.org.au and click the next step button.